The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
By tomorrow, I will rule the world!
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
New start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Welcome, you've got mail.
Paying attention!
Well, I must have not been paying attention. Just talking to me. Do you think that you could repeat the question? And I listen more attentively. There must have been something in all of that nothing that wasn't quite so easy to see. And I must have missed something when you were just talking to me.
We're not only listening, Tommy, we are paying attention.
When you were busy slamming the door, I guess it
goes on and on and on and on and on. That could go on and on and on and on.
My decision as mayor, and your decision as city council to approve or disapprove. When I say my doors are open, that I want to be part of your agenda, that you be part of my, that's what I mean. But please, don't tie my hand. I will not work with people that were responsible for federal administration. But I just want to make that point clear, because I think it was not expressed correctly, respectfully.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a threat. This is a promise. If you continue in the manner that we have been continuing, as a city in total, we're going to have the same thing we saw in the early 90s. For if we forget history, we're doomed to repeat it.
Wait for it. There it is.
Oh la la la. Oh la la la.
We're not only listening, Tommy. We are paying attention.
Willie Lindsay with the Chief. Melvin Taylor opening the show as he does every week. God, I love Melvin Taylor. And by the way, my prayers go out to the Melvin Taylor family. They've got a situation. I just want people to keep them in their prayers. Sent an email to Mel, and I Facebooked him yesterday. Because I can't believe I haven't Facebooked Melvin Taylor yet. So I Facebooked him, I don't know, it was yesterday, the day before. You know my time frames are always wrong. And started chatting with him on Facebook and asking him, I need my Melvin Taylor fix. I haven't seen Mel live in almost a year, and I need to know where you're playing locally. And I guess he's not going to be playing locally for a little while, probably not till spring. But when he does, we're going to get him into the studio. Maybe this is what we'll do. Maybe we'll get Mel in for St. Patrick's Day. He can come in and sing some drunken Irish drinking songs. Some Irish drinking songs from Melvin Taylor. That could be fun. We could get like a whole bunch of people in here. You know what I found yesterday, Timmy? I was going through some old stuff, as you have been. It's our six-year anniversary for the Valley Patriot coming up in March, so I've been going through some old stuff, some old radio stuff, some old newspaper stuff, and I found a clip of Melvin Taylor from like 2001 on the Paying Attention radio program on another station, and I had my kids in the studio, and they were doing the backgrounds for some of his songs.
Well, it's the Melvin Taylor and the...
And the Meltones.
The Meltones, okay.
And the Meltones do play without Melvin Taylor. They're like a whole band thing that they do. But really, and they're good, don't get me wrong. But really, if you really want to treat, you got to see them when they play with Mel.
Your kids were the Meltones?
My kids were like the fill-in Meltones. He came on to my show, and he was just coming on to kind of like, it was the first time really we had gotten together. I'd found his CD, and I really kind of wanted to promote him as a local guy, Lowell singer. And my kids were there, and... he started doing a song, and my kids love Melvin Taylor.
They knew all the words.
They knew all the so I'm going through some old audio, and I found, and it said Melvin Taylor Kids, and maybe I'll bring it in. Actually, I think I might even have it here, but maybe I'll bring it in next week, and we'll play that because it's so funny. My oldest is now 15. Can you believe that?
So how long ago was this?
This was like back in 2001, maybe, right? So my oldest is now 15, so she would have been what? I can't do math. She was like
six?
Like six back then. And it's just so cute, and it's so funny, and I'm thinking, wow, I've known Melvin Taylor for like 10 years or more. That's bizarre. So anyways, we got to get him into the studio. We'll be doing that. Lots of stuff to get to today. I want to encourage people. We are working on revamping the website, the Valley Patriot website. And we've got Sid from Valcom Communications is feverishly working on trying to make it a little bit more interactive. And, you know, we're always trying to upgrade stuff that we're doing. But in the meantime, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to join the Valley Patriot fan page on Facebook. Because really, if you go to the Tribune website, honestly, you get a bunch of knuckleheads who sign up under assumed names, under pen names or handles or whatever they call them. And they take cheap shots at people and you don't know who they are. And most of the conversation just degenerates into name-calling and silliness. And all kinds of kindergarten stuff. And I'm always accused, by the way, of blogging on the Eagle Tribune blog. I don't know.
Under another name.
And I don't know how many times I have to say I don't do that, but people are going to just believe whatever they want to believe. So here's what I'm doing is, thanks to Paula, who spent an awful lot of time building this fan page for the Valley Patriot on Facebook, and people are blogging like crazy. But the difference is you know who's blogging, so it's not some cheap anonymous shot that they're taking at people. You know, so-and-so's a drunk or so-and-so's – yes.
I was going to say, why would you need to anonymously make any kind of shots on the Tribune website when you do it on your own and – or not cheap shots, but you take all your shots out in the open on the air and on your website, in your paper.
You know, when I say something – people know it's me. I identify myself. When I write something, I'm not a coward. I put my name on it. Now, does that mean that I don't know people maybe in my house or maybe otherwise who might not also be doing that kind of stuff? You know, that's not me. That's all I'm going to say is that it's not me. So people can believe it, not believe it. Quite frankly, I don't care. But I'm going to encourage people to, if you're on Facebook, first of all, you ought to be friending me on Facebook. Secondly, you ought to join the Valley Patriot Facebook fan page where we post stories sometimes by the hour. They're not always local stories. There's a story that we posted about Israel that if I knew more about, I'd be happy to talk about. Maybe Paula will call in and give us some insight on that. She's working on a news story for the next Valley Patriot. We've got a great source, a national source, who's giving us a national story. And she's ferreting that out. She's a lawyer, so she's great at research. And she's told me some of the details of it, but you know I'm going to get it wrong because I'm half listening when women talk to me. I'm a guy. That's how it is. It's in our DNA, right? So if she could call in, and I was begging her this morning, she was saying no, but maybe we can plead with her on the air to please call in and let people know kind of what's going on. I know Nikki Tsongas, Congressman Nikki Tsongas, who I really do like. Sorry, Sam. But I really do like Nikki Tsongas. I know she's in Drake It today, and I heard that she called into the Great Great Warren Shaw's program, which is always a good listen on Saturday mornings. If you're just tuning in at 10 o'clock just to me, I want to encourage you. You ought to tune in a little earlier and listen to what Warren's doing. I mean, like him, don't like him, agree with him, don't agree with him. He's got a great show, and there's a lot of good information about what's going on. So I'm hoping maybe we can get Nikki Tsongas to call in, so we can talk to her about this Israel thing, although it would be kind of a waste if Paula doesn't call and let us know what that is, and I won't know what questions to ask. But we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants today. Got a breaking story, Tim.
What is that?
I know you get your laptop over there. If people at home want to play along, you can go to valleypatriot.com. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds just to type that in and take a look at what we posted today. because it really is funny. I mean, really hysterically funny. I'm driving around last night. I got a phone call from a friend, we'll say. And he says to me, geez, Tom, I just drove by Willie Lantigua, the Chief's car, his truck, and he still has a house plate.
I did get this story already.
And I said, wait a minute, he resigned as a state representative a full week ago. That can't be true. Willie knows the whole world is watching him. I mean, law enforcement's watching him. The state reps are watching him. The governor's watching him. The media's watching him. And I'm the least of his troubles. I'm watching him. There's just no way. So I was in a different section of the valley, and I actually turned around when I got the phone call. I said, okay, where is his truck right now? Where is it? They said it's in the parking lot next to City Hall. This was about 11 o'clock last night. So I'm in another community, at least like two communities away from Lawrence. I turned around, jumped on the highway, and headed down. I thought, there's just no way it's still going to be there by the time I get back. As a side note, good for Willie Lantigua that at 11 o'clock on a Friday night, he's still at City Hall working. I mean, give the guy kudos. The guy is working. And, I mean, we're assuming he's in City Hall, but I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know his office is on Essex Street right near there in Bally's and all that, but I'm just gonna give him the kudos because he deserves it. According to Lenny, he does work late and he does work weekends. So I finally get to Lawrence, maybe around 11:25, and I pull down into the Gateway area, get on Essex Street, and I drive by, and there's Willie on Essex Street with his posse. And it looks like he's getting ready to head over to his car, and now I'm really depressed. Because I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to get around to Common Street to get a photo of this car if he indeed does have a houseplate on it. But as luck would have it, Willie decided to stop and talk to a few people. I pulled around onto Common Street. And if you go to valleypatriot.com, you get a chance to see the picture of the car. Now, the small picture we've got posted, you can't see the plate. But if you click the link or if you click the picture, it does expand. And when it expands, you can see houseplate 142.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
So this just raises a whole bunch of other questions to me, because Lawrence Mayor Willie Lantigua, the Chief, who resigned a full week and one day ago as a state representative, I don't know what the law says about this. Maybe he's got 10 days. Maybe he's got 30 days to turn in his plate. I can't imagine why that law would exist if it indeed does exist. So I'm not going to make the claim that he's breaking the law, because we know that the legislators make the law. So maybe they've got a special law that they can keep the plate. But putting the law aside for a minute, it's the height of arrogance. It's the height of hubris that he resigned as a state rep last Friday, a week ago yesterday. And he's still driving around with his house plate that's paid for by the state taxpayers, that allows him to park free in Boston, that allows him not to get pulled over when house is in session by a police officer, that allows him all kinds of funny perks. You pull into a state parking garage, you don't have to pay. He might not even have to pay for pulling into a city parking garage, because, of course, he's the mayor and he runs the city parking garages. So I just kind of thought that was a little interesting. If you look at the picture, too, you can also see the Galvin for Secretary of State sticker on his car. Very funny stuff. I don't understand why the day he resigned, he wouldn't take that plate and turn it into the state taxpayers where it belongs.
Probably because he didn't want to resign?
That could be. But it also could be because there's nobody to give the plate to. Maybe he's just thinking of the next guy. He's keeping it warm. He's keeping the plate warm for the next guy after the special election.
I wouldn't want to give up a sweet plate like that.
I mean, just take a look at it. I mean, imagine you're driving down the road and you're weaving. I'm not saying he's done this, but imagine you're driving down the road and you're weaving, or you're drunk, or you blow through a red light and the cop sees the house plate. He's not pulling you over. He doesn't care. He doesn't care who's behind the wheel. He doesn't care what substances are in the car. The cops see the house plate, and I can tell you, as the son of a cop and a family member of many cops, they're not pulling that car over. No cop wants to put their job in jeopardy by pulling over a member of the House of Representatives, period. So
that's
there
a
it is.
Very good point.
11:20 or 11:25 last night, Timmy.
That's like a U.S. government plate, right?
It is, yeah. It's a state government plate. Yep. Which means that they're also paying for his insurance on his truck, right? Unbelievable. I don't know. What do you do? I mean, what do you do? When you got a guy that so flagrantly just violates every code of decency you can imagine, that
the guy resigns and he still has the perk of the house plate. I don't know. Maybe
how long,
it's me.
It's been a while since I've registered my car. How long does that take? You just have to go down to the DMV and re-register a car and they
right.
get your plates, right?
Yeah, you get your own plate. You go to the DMV, and thanks to Sue Tucker, State Senator Sue Tucker, who I know is going to have some very heavy opposition this year, but let's give her credit where credit's due. Thanks to Sue Tucker, the Registry of Motor Vehicles is an awful lot more, let's say customer-friendly with all this total quality management stuff that she put in. So it's not going to take an awful long time. I mean, he doesn't even really have to go down himself. He can send Lenny Dietdy. It's not like Lenny's got stuff to do. You send Lenny Dietdy, you know, maybe at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. You bring him, send him down with the plate and ask him to swap it out.
He's going to now. You can better believe it.
You know what? Don't bet on that. Do not bet on that. This is remember, all the rules go out the window when you're talking about Willie Lantigua, the chief. Because any other politician would be, as we're speaking, running down to a registry somewhere to try and get this taken care of. But Willie, who knows, next week we could come in with another picture of Willie with a house plate. Maybe he'll have a congressional plate, too. Who knows?
Maybe he broke a deal with Duvall. He says, you know, I'll resign.
I'll
but
resign,
I keep
but I get
the
to
plate.
Keep the plate. I love it. I love it. Now, hey, what happened to our clock? We got a new clock in here?
You know what? Wait, the other one was running a little slow, so I just did a little rearrangement for Warren.
Good. And by the way, good job with the clips at the open of the show.
And thank you very much. We have more to come.
All right. Let's take a quick break. You want to take a quick break, get it out of the way?
Absolutely.
Here's what we're going to talk about today clips. A little bit anyway. Tiger Woods. I cannot let this show go by without talking about Tiger Woods as much as I don't want to. I am so utterly infuriated by all of this. I've been blogging on Facebook for the last 24 hours with angry women who are projecting their own experience with cheating onto Tiger Woods and just attacking Tiger Woods like they know the situation. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to... Yes?
I was just going to say, I'm excited to talk about it. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to catch the whole apology or whatever you want to call it, press conference, although we didn't take questions.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about Warren City Councilor Mark LaPlante, who really is turning into be a hero on the city council in Lawrence. Back after this on 980 WCAP. It's the Paying Attention Radio program where everybody gets it.
Cause every day there's a war to fight, and if I win or lose, never mind, as long as you're my shoulder. Every night I used to cry, I've got to war, but now I've got a shoulder that can.
Hey, first of all, I respect you because you give people the opportunity to talk about serious subjects in comparison to other radio programs, which will remain nameless, which talk about dribble all day long. And
right.
And that's my great respect for you. Subjects are open and you allow us to talk about it.
This is Steve Paliuka and you're listening to Paying Attention on WCAP, where everybody gets it.
Dude, you need a ring. I know Paul was really mean to you, Timmy, last week, and I'm going to have a conversation with him about that. But you're definitely doing good work with all those bumpers that you've been doing. And I know Clark has been on me to kind of tighten some of this stuff up. And I, to be honest with you, he's been on me for over a year to do that, and I literally have not had time in a year to do that. And so the fact that you're doing it, you're doing what a real producer does. You're not just a board op. You're actually producing, and I love that. That's what made me fall in love with George as a producer. I mean, George would spend like 3 or 4 hours every week, sometime during the week, just kind of tightening things up and getting stuff going. And so I'm Duggan here on the Paying Attention Radio program on WCAP, where everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. Willie Lantigua gets it. Michelle McVie gets it. Everybody gets it. Steve Paliuka, owner of the Boston Celtics, he gets it. I love this song. We met them up in, I shouldn't say. I shouldn't go into that again. It gets me in trouble every time I do. But we were on vacation. We ran into Martine and the girls. The name of this band is Ode to Joy. And by the way, that song was on a soundtrack And if you can tell me what soundtrack that was on, I'll give you two free tickets to the Lowell Devils. How's that? 978-454-4980 is the phone number here in the Paying Attention Radio program. So in the next hour, we're going to get to something we've been trying to get to for a couple of weeks, and that is the Police Officers Firefighters of the Year from the Lawrence Exchange Club. And we'll talk a little bit about their heroism. We're also hoping to get a phone call from Methuen Mayor Bill Manzi to talk about the little charity event he and Mike Sullivan are involved in. I was a little hurt that I had to hear about it on CAP. You know me, I'm like a little kid. I like to know everything first. And I was even a little more hurt that I wasn't invited, although everybody knows I can't attend because I'm here during that time. I wish they'd schedule their stuff not between 10 and 1 on Saturday. But had I known in advance, I could have sent Don, Mayor Manzi. See, he cut his nose off to spite his face. Had he told me, I could have sent Don, then he would have been happy. Also, what are we going to get to? Mark LaPlante. Oh, no, we'll do Mark LaPlante next hour. Let's talk about Tiger Woods first. Do you want to do that? Somebody on the line, Timmy?
Yes, we do have somebody on the line who'd like to get on real quick and promote something, dinner, if it's all right with you.
A dinner? Do I get a free dinner? If I get a free dinner, we'll put him on. No, I'm just kidding. 978-454-4980. We're just kind of, we're still warming up. We're still waiting to get the show going. No Paul today. He had a death in the family, so our prayers go out to him too. 978-454-4980. Oh, what's going on out there? Hello?
Yes, hello. I just want to invite you to the, you and your listeners, to the 130th George Washington birthday dinner at the First Congregational Church in Methuen, Mass. And it's at 4:30, and it's turkey, gravy, stuffings, vegetable, mashed potato, beverage, dessert, and it's $10 for adults. And thank you for letting me put this advertisement on.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. You know, the First Congregational Church, he's gone. The First Congregational Church in Methuen sends us stuff all the time, and I don't always get a chance to get it into the Valley Patriot, because we have about 90 pages worth of material that comes in every month, and we only have about 50 pages to print them in. This week, this month, though, coming up, we are going to have an expanded Valley Patriot because it's our six-year anniversary edition. So this is the month to get in. If you want to advertise and you want people to see your advertisement, this is the month to come on board with us. This is the month to do it. And our deadline is next Friday. So if you can get me something, an advertisement, a column, a picture, a funny photo of Willie Lantigua, whatever you got to send it to me by next Friday. We'll be out on March 4th. And then I think I'm probably going to take a week off and go to Vegas or something, because I really, really need it, Timmy. I took a day off this past week on Monday. Not the whole day, because from 7 to 9 I was interviewing like Charlie Baker and stuff down at the Malden Lincoln Reagan breakfast, the Republican Lincoln Reagan breakfast thing.
Did you say you were going to take a day off and go to Vegas?
Yeah, I'm going to take like a week maybe.
Okay. I was going to say, you won't make it back.
No, not in a day. No. If I go to Vegas, I'm going to need a week and maybe even two. But Monday,
with the arraignment and everything. You
yeah,
know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the marriages, the divorces, you know, it's good. It'll be a long week. But on Monday, I did take a day off. And after the whole Charlie Baker thing and the Lincoln Republican thing, I just didn't do anything all day on Monday. Tuesday, I didn't really do much else either. And then by Wednesday, I started getting back into the swing of things because it's my first day off in at least a year. Like, seriously. So by Wednesday, I was trying to get back on track, but it just felt so good not doing anything that by Thursday, I was actually back on track, but I was 4 days behind. So now for the next week, I'm 4 days behind, and I'm going to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off yet again. Let's talk about Tiger Woods, shall we?
We shall.
A corpuscle in my brain just snapped yesterday as I'm flipping through the channels, and I see, and let's put this in perspective and call it what it is. A golfer having a press conference, feeling the need to tell me, you, and the entire planet, because this was beamed by satellite to, like, Zimbabwe. Everybody saw this thing. And he felt the need to apologize to us because he cheated on his wife. And I kept waiting for the punchline. Like, how are we involved? Well, why are you apologizing to me? I didn't ask for an apology. I don't I don't care who he, I don't care who you cheat on. This is where Paul really should have been here today.
Yeah, it's a good point.
His family members always die at the most inconvenient time for us.
It is a good point that Paul would have some definite insight on this topic.
I told him if he could, he could call in, if he could. So hopefully he will to talk about this topic. But I flipped through and I heard him say, and I want to apologize to everyone. Well, why are you apologizing to everyone?
You know, it's my perception is that he's just trying to solidify his image as one of the greatest golfers.
Right.
And human beings and athletes that ever has been. And that's just it. He's just trying to secure his image.
He's trying to get out from underneath all the bad press.
He's just trying to, you know, it was a mixture of apologizing. And, I mean, I didn't hear the whole thing, but he was pleading with everyone to just leave his family alone.
Yeah. And I think the reason why he felt the need to do this, although he shouldn't have to feel the need to do this, is because you've got, I don't know what word to use that Clark's not going to get mad at me for using, but you've got this really scummy Nancy Grace out there. You've got these really disgusting and vile people like Greta Van Susteren and the people on Entertainment Tonight and the E! News Channel and by the way, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS. I put on the news and I'm looking for news. Like, I'm surfing the net, and I find out two of our guys got killed in Afghanistan yesterday or the day before. And I'm looking for that story. No, I'm getting 24/7 Tiger Woods coverage.
Everyone.
And it reminded me of 9/10, the day before 9/11, and the time before 9/11 with the 24/7 Chandra Levy coverage. Remember the girl that went missing? She was sleeping with a congressman,
mm-hmm.
and they thought he did it, and it was just 24/7 coverage on this congressman's affair with this missing girl, with the implication that he did it. Nancy Grace not only implied it, but just came right out and said she believed he did it, and then conducted show upon show upon show, ad nauseum, about this congressman, and I can't remember his name, but if I remembered it, if it comes to me, I'll tell you who it is. But there was this congressman, and it was just over and over and over the speculation, and she interviewed his mailman. Now, when you were delivering his mail, did you know he was a perv? I mean, this is what now passes for news. But then 9/11 happened. And didn't we all really kind of feel really foolish, really stupid, that we were paying attention to the salacious Inquirer-type gossip in mainstream media, and we were sucking it up like it was water and we were in the desert? And didn't we all feel kind of dumb that we weren't paying attention to the millions of Muslims who want to destroy us? That we weren't paying attention to things like, you know, Danny Pearl, the American Jew who had his head cut off with a penknife slowly on video? That we weren't paying more attention to those kinds of things? We all felt kind of dumb, but here we are again. We're in the pre-9/11 period. The American psyche has gone backwards to the pre-9/11 time where we are obsessed with Michael Jackson. We are obsessed with Tiger Woods, and it's considered news. And I also blame, you've got to blame the news people. You've got to blame the people who are at Fox News. You've got to blame the people at CNN. And of course, their argument is it's ratings, right? Well, you could put porn on and that would get you lots of ratings, wouldn't it? I mean, if Fox News said, you know, we're going to have a one-hour porn hour from 11 to 12 at night every single night, I guarantee you that would be the highest-rated show anywhere in the history of television. So saying it's for ratings really doesn't absolve you from your responsibility as journalists to talk about real news and, more importantly, not talk about what's not real news. 978-454-4. You look like you wanted in, so I gave you a shot.
Well, you know, it's, I'm still thinking about porn.
It does tend to distract us, doesn't it?
It's ratings. It's what everybody wants to hear about right now. I mean, you got the greatest athlete, arguably, in the world.
Right.
I mean, for the last decade. And everybody wants to know what's going on.
I don't understand how people sleep at night after they send a reporter to follow a guy's kid and find out where his school is and then broadcast that. I don't know how people can sleep at night when they're sending reporters out, or the reporters themselves stalking, and that's what they're doing. They're stalking this guy's wife, this guy's mother, his babysitter, his paper boy, his mailman, his next door neighbor, the guy who babysit him when he was five, his kindergarten teacher. We're really becoming a National Enquirer type society when it comes to how we consume our news and what we consider news. So I want to talk about that, and I certainly want your calls on Tiger Woods. I know there's an awful lot of women on Facebook, my sister included, who just start off their Facebook statuses this week with, Tiger Woods isn't sorry. He's sorry he got caught. He's scum. He's evil. I can't believe he did this. She should have beat him 10 more times with that golf club. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But I'm reading all of these comments from all of these angry women who I think are kind of projecting their own feelings about cheating, or maybe they've been cheated on, or their mom's been cheated on, or they've got some experience with cheating. And they're projecting it all onto Tiger Woods as if we know what Tiger Woods' situation is. As someone who's been involved in various sex scandals, more than I care to remember or repeat, as a politician, I can tell you, when the Eagle Tribune came after me when I was on the school committee and they started talking about my girlfriend's sex life, not only was it over the line, not only was it not anybody's business, but 90% or maybe 80% of what they were reporting was just factually incorrect. And you had the same type of mentality from the people who were consuming this news. Duggan's a perv. Duggan's awful. He's mean to women. He hates women. And I just kept saying, wow, like, does anybody really just kind of sit back and go, maybe we need the facts first? Maybe everything that's being reported about this might not be exactly correct. We don't know. Do we really know? Is there anybody out there that can say with certainty that we know that Tiger Woods and his wife didn't have an open relationship? That they weren't separated but living together for the sake of the kids? I mean, probably not. But do we know that? We don't know that. So how do we judge? How does anyone judge a guy who, first of all, was going out with porn stars? To me, I give him 20 extra points for that. But okay, let's pretend, you know, we're women for a minute. How do you judge someone not knowing? You don't know the situation.
Because you rope them in with every other guy who's ever done it.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And then, by the way, the worst thing of all of this is that every guy out there, since this Tiger Woods thing happened, we're suffering. We're the ones, our wives are now checking our Blackberries 3 times a day, and we're the ones where if we're not home at a certain time, we're being, and not me personally, because Paul is very good about that, but with a lot of other guys, and I'm hearing it, my friends are telling me that they're getting crap about this whole Tiger Woods thing.
We don't have a female publicist is basically what he had.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right, right. Do you have somebody on the line?
Facilitator. Yes, we have George from Groton.
Oh, God. All right. I know somehow this is going to have to do with them. They're homosexuals, but we'll see. We'll see if we can't get them to stay off that topic, if we can. George from Groton, how nippity-do there, George?
Yeah, fine. I'm not going to get on that topic because the media is not allowed to talk about it. We know that, so I don't even waste time on it anymore.
I let you talk about it, just kind of in context.
Bit. You will, but others don't pick up on it. The media is geared, this is what we're talking about right now.
Right.
Is control of the media. So who controls it? Now, you just brought up a couple of things I wanted to bring up anyway. I got them written down here.
All right.
First of all, you asked... what congressman was it that got kicked out of office because a girl was missing?
Yes.
It was Congressman Condit from California.
Right, Gary Condit.
Yes. And it was all on speculation. It was all on media hype. We don't know who was behind the control panel keeping that going. But so what the media didn't even mention about Condit is he was the leading Democrat on the Intelligence House Committee. He was chairman of two or three committees, and he knew more about intelligence than probably anybody in the United States. And he was, all his time was taken up and finally got him out of office because of something that never happened. See? And also, the second part of that is Chandra Levy, she met him supposedly by accident. She was invited to lunch by a girlfriend of hers that worked for him, and they just met casually. He didn't chase her down. But anyway, that's one case. But what I'm getting at is, who controls the media? why do these cases become, like you said, very wisely? Look at O.J. took up about 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was over nothing. While what was going on behind foreign policy and local policy was important, didn't get attention. How about Michael Jackson for a week? Another case. We got to Condit, and now we're on Woods for about the next year, I guess, over nothing. Something that a lot of people involved in, they just chose the time and the place, and he's taking up all our time when we're in the middle of a war for survival.
Right.
For survival, not just a little scandal coming along. And look at Clinton. He got into a lot of trouble. How did that girl just happen to get in that position that thousands of people want to get into? And when she got in, look what her specialty was. She looked away and played the part. Next thing you know, she almost brought down the whole government of the United States. See?
Right.
So this goes on and on and on. So as soon as these illusions begin to happen, look behind the scene. And look, Osama bin Laden wrote a letter to the World Press in 1998. He declared war on the United States. That letter was also in the 911 report.
Right.
Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. They talk about Jackson and Woods and Condit. Now, the question is, who is it that control the American media to get important things off the air, not to be mentioned, and bring on a one-day story and keep it going for months and years?
So are you positing the idea, or at least the theory, that some person or organization controls the media?
They have influence on the media, tremendous amount of influence.
All right.
And this is pinpointed. You brought it up yourself this morning. Why do these stories take up so much time? And behind them is just a little interest.
I think, George, honestly, it's intellectual laziness. I think if reporters and people who run newsrooms and people who run TV news, if they can talk about a press conference, they don't have to do any work, they don't have to do any research, they can play the video clips over and over and just comment and speculate on it, that's a lot easier than getting real news from Afghanistan or Iraq and interviewing experts and getting people in, and at the same time also doing it in an entertaining way so that people will watch. I think it's just intellectual laziness. I don't know that there's a conspiracy, although I guess there could be, but I don't think that there's a conspiracy to kill certain stories with a Chandra Levy story for seven straight days or for seven straight months.
Yeah. Well, it could be an accident, but I kind of think there's some reasoning behind it. Now, you talk about these lazy reporters.
Yeah.
There used to be people called journalists. You dug into stories and researched them for months sometimes. They just about vanished. And all we got is just like you said, they pull it off the wire and they put it on there. And that helps that group in the background, whether it's local, state, national, international, to manipulate things and to monopolize things that are going on. So now, if people don't look for it, they're not going to find it.
All right, George, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. Yeehaw. We miss George. He's not in every week, which is probably a good thing, but every other week is good. I like hearing from George. I just it's got to be in small doses.
I agree.
Like, I can't even listen to Rush Limbaugh. I used to be able to listen to him in small doses. I can't. I used to be able to listen to Sean Hannity in small doses. Now I just can't. I used to listen to Bill O'Reilly, although not that much. I can't even listen to him in small doses anymore. But George, I can take in small doses. George at least makes some sense, and I don't always agree with his positions, but, you know, he at least tells you where he's coming from. He doesn't hide it. And although I'm still waiting for him to give me information on his little group that's supposed to be trying to help Israel. Very strong on the Israel thing.
Just back on Tiger Woods.
Yes.
And I'm younger. I'm 20, about to be 25. I've grown up, and it seems like every other year or every couple of years, it's one of the most famous people has been caught having an affair.
Right.
I mean, what was it, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago? Kobe Bryant.
Right.
The greatest basketball player, that arguably the greatest basketball player right now, had an affair. Alex Rodriguez had an affair. Our president had an affair. Everybody has been getting, I mean, everybody gets caught. But everybody's doing it.
And what makes me crazy is how is that news? Like, Tiger Woods didn't get caught cheating at golf. That would have been news. If they found out that the guy was cheating at golf, he was using a club he wasn't supposed to use, or he was kicking the ball when nobody was looking, you go, okay, well, that's news. The guy's a famous golfer, and he's cheating at his craft.
Or steroids.
Right, yeah, or steroids, you know, yep. Mark McGwire, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But do we really need to know who people are sleeping with? Do we need to know that? Is that news? I mean, it's salacious gossip. It's porn for the mind, but it's not news. Seriously. And here's the other thing. I don't think Tiger Woods ought to lose one dime in endorsements. That would be like you come into work tomorrow, Timmy, and Clark says, you know what, Tim, I got some intelligence from a friend of mine who said you were at a drinking party last week and you had sex with two girls. You just can't work here anymore. We have a higher standard here at WCAP. You look at him and go, what? What does that have to do with my job? What does what I did on a Friday or a Thursday or a Wednesday night outside of my job have anything to do with me coming here and getting paid?
See, I think a lot of people would disagree with you on that one.
Well, that's why I'm trying to get people to call in. That's why I said that.
See, I think, you know, it's an image. You have, and it's an image with baseball players and steroids and just trying to set an example for young kids. That's what it's all about. It's all about the kiddies.
Right. Yeah, I know. But
and it's all about
but
setting
really,
an image.
I don't know any 10, 12, or 15-year-old kids that are rushing to TV on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when the sun's out outside and their friends are playing going, I got to watch Tiger Woods on TV.
Or yesterday, rushing to the TV at 11 o'clock on their vacation to see the press conference.
Yeah. Yeah, to see a press conference where he, like, as you said, he didn't take questions, which is not really a press conference.
Yeah.
And he's up there saying, I'm sorry to the world. I've let you down. You didn't let me down. You let your wife down. Apologize to her in private. I don't need to know
and
about
that's
it.
You know what, though? That's what he said yesterday.
Yeah.
He said all the issues, all the problems, all the who, what, where, when, and how are between me and my wife. That's what he said. He said it's all between me and my wife. I've let my wife down. I let my closest friends and family down.
Well, tell them. Don't tell me.
But, you know, it's all about an image. It's all about endorsements. It's how the game is played. And not the game of golf. It's the game of endorsements.
The game of the media. Because,
absolutely.
You know, the media builds people up, and the media creates the image. Tiger Woods didn't create Tiger Woods' image. Because let's face it, Charlie Manson couldn't create an image like Tiger Woods. You know what I'm saying? Gary Hart could not create an image like Tiger Woods. Image. The media creates the image. They feed into a single line of thought that this is a good guy, a family guy. They feed into it all the time with pictures of him with his wife and his kids on the beach. And then as soon as they find out that he hasn't lived up to the image they created for him, they're ready to tear the guy down.
It's that, and at the same time, the media has created an image for him. And Nike, which hasn't removed any of their endorsements,
good. They've
backed him 100%. He has his own logo. And it's to the point where, what does that logo stand for?
Yeah,
you know, he has...
It stands for having sex with porn stars. But really, is that so bad? I don't know. I'm confused.
For me, the logo stands for him being one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Right, one of the greatest golfers
and
ever.
And honestly, I'm worried about April. I think it's April 6th or 7th when the first major of the year, the Masters... is going to be, and I'm more concerned on how he's going to perform. Yeah. And I hope, I don't know how shallow this sounds, but I hope that this doesn't affect his golf game. Because I'm a big golf fan.
Right, well, really, he's famous for being a golfer. So as far as I'm concerned, if it's not golf-related, it's not news. I mean, I don't care who he's sleeping with. I don't care who he went to the movies with. I don't care what he eats when he goes to Sparrows. I don't care about any of that stuff. He's a golfer who happens to have celebrity status because he's that good. But honestly, everything else is between he and the people in his life. Look, now everybody knows, I'm a reporter, I do all this media stuff, but I also hang out with people who are state senators, who are mayors, who are city councilors, in off-the-record type situations where there's drinking involved, sometimes they say something they shouldn't say. Never, ever, 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 ever have I reported on something that I learned during an off-the-record situation, during an off-the-record event. And the reason is because I've been on the other end of that.
Mm-hmm. I've been the elected official where I've said something in a fundraiser after a couple of drinks, and the next thing I know it's on the front page of the paper, and people are taking it out of context and not reporting it correctly, and suddenly there's a scandal involved, and I used to shake my head and say, wait a minute, hold on a second. This wasn't me calling a reporter saying this. I'm at an off-the-record thing. I'm at a private thing, and I said something, and a reporter thought they overheard that, but that's not really what they heard. It's not news. I don't know. I just wish Tiger had come out yesterday and said, you know what, everyone? F all he is. I'm going to have sex with whoever I want, and it's none of your business. That's what he should have said. I was hoping that's what he was going to say, but it's not what he said. Probably would have lost the Nike endorsement, but it would have been worth it and certainly much more entertaining. 978-454-4980. Mark LaPlante when we come back on the Paying Attention Radio program in Grisel Silva.
980 WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack Valley.
Know what happens if you're not paying attention?
Look, anybody who wants to run can run. And Marcos Devers won handily in white neighborhoods in South Lawrence.
And I thank all the voters who voted for Marcos Devers.
On the other hand, no white person will ever beat a Hispanic in North Lawrence in Spanish neighborhoods on their own. If Barbara Gonzalez runs against Jesus Christ in District C, Jesus isn't winning. And you know it. Although they might be confused, they'll say Jesus, and they'll think maybe he's Hispanic. But they'll see Gonzalez, and they're going with the Z every time. You know it, don't you? Let's take a phone call. I'll take the laughter as an indictment.
So don't miss a minute. Paying Attention with Tom Duggan. So.
We're not only listening, Tommy. We are paying attention.
I gotta tell you, Timmy, I know that I'm gonna lose my entire audience when I say this. This is my absolute favorite album of all time. Like, more, I love this album more than I love. My second favorite album of all time is the Eagles Live. This beats Eagles Live.
It's a good album, Eagles Live, huh?
It is, it's a great album. When I tell everybody who this is, they're gonna go, what? The Bay City Rollers from the It's a Game album. God, when I was like 10 years old, I used to listen to this all day. I just listened to it all. My parents were so sick of hearing the It's a Game album by the Bay City Rollers that I think at one point they just offered to buy me more records so they could hear something different.
Does that have Saturday Night on it?
Yeah, no. I think that's on the a previous album, and then on the Greatest Hits. But this had all kinds of great stuff, all kinds of B songs that never made it, and I'm a B-song kind of guy. I always like the stuff that kind of goes in a little different direction than pop culture. All right. Can we go home yet? No, I haven't filled up the whole show on Bay City Rollers talk. No, I got a new BlackBerry. And by the way, God bless you, Shaw Rosen. I just love her so much. I was having problems with my phone. I posted a thing on Facebook. Let me tell you, Facebook has completely changed my life. I posted a thing on Facebook saying my phone's dying. I only wish I had a BlackBerry. I could change the world. And within like 5 or 6 minutes, Shaw Rosen posted a thing on Facebook saying, hey, we just got all new BlackBerries at work. You want my old one? No charge.
There you go.
So I've been walking around for 2 days with my nose buried into a BlackBerry trying to get, I'm doing my Twittering, I'm doing my Facebooking, I'm emailing people, I'm uploading stories. It's great.
Yeah, I just got, I got one, my first BlackBerry, I don't know, maybe 7 months ago. And yeah. The best thing about it, I think, is that they just keep coming up with, you know, new phones, different phones. BlackBerry kind of, as long as you learn how to use a BlackBerry, you can always just upgrade, and it's so similar, you won't ever have to worry about learning a new phone.
Yeah, learning new stuff, yeah.
You know?
But I went from this old, the 6-year-old dinosaur phone that I had, It actually had a wire. I'd have to like run a wire outside my car while I was driving. No, I'm just kidding. But
I saw it. Yeah, but it's antenna and everything.
Yeah, it's like it's old. It's so old.
You know,
it's,
with an antenna
yeah, it's
on
like
it.
Two tin cans with a string in between. Now I've got a BlackBerry. You could run a country with this thing. Literally, you could run an entire country.
It's true.
Yeah. 978-454-4980. So the Lawrence City Council met again this week. And you know when that happens, well, generally nothing good could come of that. Especially given what's been going on. I thought that was a very interesting, maybe we can queue up that, was my thing, the LaPlante-Grisel thing. It's going to be clipped, it's the last clip, 16 on that desk, when you get a chance. I'll give you enough of a build-up to be able to get it ready. So the Lawrence City Council met this week, and God bless Verizon Fios. I get to watch it at home without having to rush to Lawrence to watch these shenanigans. And Mark LaPlante, Lawrence City Councilor Mark LaPlante, who really is turning out to be a hero. I mean, he's the one guy on that council, like him or not, he's the one guy on that council that's bringing up issues that everybody else is afraid to bring up. I'm not going to go so far as to say he's the Tommy Duggan of the Lawrence City Council. I think he's got a long way to go for that. I'm actually pretty sure he doesn't want that anyway. He's very Mike Sullivan-like. He likes the happy stuff and, you know, all the quality of life issues is kind of his thing. But, you know, when something really controversial comes up, when we learn of something that just kind of smacks of racism or smacks of just being wrong or unfair, you know, the old Mark LaPlante never would have done this. The new Mark LaPlante, though, wow. I've gained a whole new respect for Mark LaPlante as a politician. Like, I've always liked him as a person, but as a politician, I've always saw him as this mamby-pamby, wishy-washy kind of guy. And I think I said it throughout the entire election that, you know, I like Mark, and I hope he wins, but I don't see him doing anything terribly brave at that city council if he wins. And once again, I'm happy to say I was wrong. Because Mark LaPlante got up at the city council this week and put an item on the agenda to discuss the fact that Willie Lantigua, the chief, as mayor of the city of Lawrence, is engaging in what I'm calling it a racist policy. And his racist policy is he is only posting Lawrence City job postings in Spanish language newspapers. He doesn't want white people to apply. He doesn't want anybody who doesn't speak Spanish to apply. He wants to fill the roles of Lawrence City workers with, quote, Latinos. Now, I've got no problem with giving Latinos jobs. I've got no problem giving Lawrence residents, Latino or not, preference for city jobs, right? But now what we're learning is that Willie Lantigua is posting job postings in Rumbo, which we knew was going to happen because Rumbo endorsed him and helped him and is his friend, and he thanked Rumbo during his endorsement thing. We get that. Siglo 21, who has not been as kind to Willie Lantigua, but still on the bandwagon, still drinking a little bit of Kool-Aid over there. And really nobody else. Not the Globe, not the Herald, not the Eagle Tribune, although it's probably the one thing I do agree with them on. And certainly not the Valley Patriot. It would have been nice if Mark had mentioned the Valley Patriot and said, you know, you should be doing it in the Tribune or the Valley Patriot or other English language papers like the Globe or the Herald. But he stuck with the Eagle Tribune thing. So it looks as though he's defending the Eagle Tribune. Under most other circumstances, I would probably be going ballistic that you have a city councilor shilling for the Eagle Tribune, given how I feel about them. But I don't think he was doing that in this instance. In any other instance, I probably would. But I really think that he's outraged, not that the Eagle Tribune's not getting the money, not that he's trying to throw a bone to the Eagle Tribune, but because I think he's genuinely outraged that the mayor of the city, who has constituents who are not Latino, is only targeting the Latino community for Lawrence jobs. And so here is what he had to say. We'll stop it along the way if we have to. And then listen to the clip of Grisel Silva afterwards attacking the Eagle Tribune and telling you, because this is live on TV, that the Tribune ought to be writing all their columns in Spanish. And maybe they'd get some of this advertising dollars. Clip number 16, Timmy.
Positions as mayor and state representative. The state legislature sent very strong signals that if the mayor did not resign one of his positions, that they would take away the council and the mayor's ability to set policy for our city. This past Friday, the mayor made the right decision and resigned his seat as a state representative. Hopefully, this action will help the city retain self-governance. I welcome a state overseer and believe that if we listen to the experience of this professional manager, we can continue to self-govern, give our constituents a voice at the decision-making table, and ultimately make the tough decisions that will dramatically improve our city's financial condition. However, make no mistake that when we speak, our audience is not only our constituents, but also the powers on Beacon Hill and Wall Street. Beacon Hill, through state aid, not only contributes over 70% of our revenues, but they will also directly impact our representative style of government when they reconvene after their February break. So if our goal is to continue self-governing with an overseer, then further steps need to be taken to provide confidence to the Commonwealth that we can and should self-govern. Number one, we need to heal. After the November election, it appeared that the mayor did not want to speak to the newspaper of record. I applaud the mayor for reaching out to the Spanish-speaking media, but he should also reach out to the English-speaking media. Frankly, the English-speaking media is read by the power brokers on Beacon Hill and Wall Street and significantly impacts their opinions. The mayor needs to be as accessible to the English-speaking media as he is to the Spanish-speaking media. Not only will this help us communicate a positive message to Beacon Hill, it also allows the mayor to communicate to the thousands in my district who do not understand Spanish. And number two, we need to show Beacon Hill that Lawrence is not conducting politics as usual. The mayor has an opportunity to improve our political culture. Old-style politics will require that any perceived political enemies be terminated, and friends or cronies would be hired to replace them. However, in these unique times, this conduct is counterproductive since Beacon Hill and the people we represent expect more. So far, the mayor has laid off one individual who the council voted to retain, has fired several others, all in the name of saving money. However, many of these positions have been posted to be refilled. This questions the cost savings explanation and allows for the criticism that the terminations were political vendettas. Also, the job openings were not published in the newspaper of record, which has a wide circulation through its print and web readership. In addition, we are 45 days into the administration's term, and the mayor has department heads working in acting or interim capacities without sending their names before the city council for approval as required by the city charter. Beacon Hill knows of these actions, and it unfortunately promotes an unflattering opinion of our city. So, councilors, as leaders, we need to encourage the mayor to take the actions that will not only heal our city, but also repudiates old-style politics. Beacon Hill is watching, and the municipal bond brokers on Wall Street are watching. The mayor made the right decision to resign from the state representative's position, and he needs to continue taking actions that builds confidence not only among our constituents, but also the power brokers on Beacon Hill and Wall Street. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other
questions?
I just wanted to ask just a question for the record. Who is the newspaper on off record that you're talking about?
I believe the newspaper of record, it has been throughout the course for a long time, has been the Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Which is no longer in Lawrence.
Just because they're an English-speaking newspaper only?
Why the newspaper of record? I can't speak to the customers.
Can you pause that?
It's been like that for so long.
So she wants to know, does Mark LaPlante consider the Eagle Tribune the newspaper of record because they are in English only? Like, now he's a racist, and the Eagle Tribune is racist. And we're all racist because we consider the Eagle Tribune the paper of record.
Well, most of you do anyway. I certainly don't. Because they are only in English. Do you see the mentality that you're dealing with? Do you see? They're going to only post jobs in Spanish so that when we complain, they can call us racists. Because you want it in an English-only paper. Because, of course, that's racism. Why do we consider the Eagle Tribune? Why do people consider the Eagle Tribune the newspaper of record? Well, because they're an institutional newspaper that's been around for 100 years. They're a daily paper. And that's the newspaper that, as Michael Plant already said, the power brokers in Boston and Washington and around the country and around the valley and around the state and around New England look to for their news about the valley every day. Now, do I like that? No, of course I don't like that. I hate the Eagle Tribune. I think their news is awful. I think most of their reporting is awful, though they do have a few good reporters. I think Al White sold out to Willie Lantigua, the chief. I fell over when I read their editorial saying, give Willie the money with no oversight board. But that doesn't deny the fact, that doesn't negate the fact, that the Eagle Tribune, like it or not, is the newspaper of record. If you really want the most qualified people for city jobs in Lawrence, I would think that you would cast as wide a net as you can. Mike Sullivan used to advertise in the Eagle Tribune, in Rumbo, in the Valley Patriot, in the Globe. It would be nice if Methuen Mayor Billy Manzi would do the same thing by advertising in Methuen Life and the Eagle Tribune and the Valley Patriot and not just go to the Tribune. But see, this is the gotcha. This is the revenge of the Lantigua administration because for years, the city of Lawrence and the mayor's office, as far as his opinion, his take on it, was ignoring the Latino community. Weren't giving all the job postings to Rumba. Wasn't giving all the job postings to Siglo 21. They do it from time to time, but not all of them. But by the way, the Valley Patriot didn't get all of them either. So now it's going to be revenge against the white people. We're going to show them. We're not going to give any money to any of the English language newspapers. We're not going to advertise any job postings in the English language newspapers. Number one, to punish the white people. Number two, because we want only Latinos to apply for these jobs. Then, when five Latinos apply for a job, nobody can call it racist when you hire a Latino. You can say, well, only five Latinos applied. You see the game that's going on? So here's what I'm going to do, because I consider myself one of those guys that just likes to twist the knife a little bit. The new Valley Patriot policy, because we understand the financial constraints that the city of Lawrence is in, Timmy. We understand that there isn't a lot of money for them to advertise in lots of newspapers. So we're going to volunteer to help out. In fact, on this program, we're going to volunteer to help out, but more in the Valley Patriot. Every single month, the Valley Patriot is going to, for free, post every Lawrence city job posting to make sure that we can help the city of Lawrence to get the word out to as many people as we can so that Willie can really look at all of the qualified people in the Valley who might be interested for those jobs. We're going to post them online. I'm going to read them on this radio show every single week, and we're going to put it in the Valley Patriot because that's just the kind of guys we are at the Valley Patriot. We're just trying to help. Matt from Lawrence, you're on the air. I appreciate your call. If you're interested in a city job in Lawrence, let me know. We can help you out.
I think I'm going to apply for one, but I can't read the paper, so I don't know what I'm reading.
Yeah, I know. Well, and that's by design. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to apply for that job. You're not Latino.
And that's how, on its face, that is absolutely one of the most racist things in the world you could do. That is racist. They're the ones that are driving the wedge between the whites and the Spanish.
Yeah, and as Mark, Matt, as Mark adequately pointed out, Consular Plant adequately pointed out, Willie Lantigua refused to do interviews in the English language press. He refused to do any of the 10 debates that were in English before the primary. And now he is spitting in the face of all of his non-Latino constituents in Lawrence by doing this.
Yeah, and it's just one more thing, one more check mark against the city of Lawrence that makes us look absolutely ridiculous. We're a laughing stock. It's ridiculous. And it just gets worse. Every day you think it can't get worse, it does.
I know. Well, it gets more entertaining, too. Those.
Well,
so
yeah,
for
thank
me,
God for you. It's good ratings for your show, because I'll tell you, you're the most entertaining 3 hours of the week by far.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Matt.
And what are you doing July 23rd?
I don't even know what I'm doing this afternoon.
I know what you're doing. You're taking me to see Eddie Money.
Oh, is he coming back?
Yeah, I was jogging. I was running at the beach this morning, and he's got a big placard it up on front of Club Casino.
Oh, so he's coming to Club Casino. July what, 23rd?
July 23rd.
All right, well, you know what? I'm going to see if we can't get him back on the air again, although when I try to do it, when it's initiated by me, it probably won't work. But we'll do what we can, and if you want, Matt, I will get tickets, and you and I will go.
Absolutely. That's why I'm calling. I want to meet that guy.
All right, we'll get you backstage. You can meet Eddie Money. Would you like that?
I would absolutely love it.
What other radio show can you call in and say, I want to meet Eddie Money, and the guy's going to take you to a show?
Only Paying Attention.
All right, send me an email so I'll know who you are later.
You got it, Tom.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy.
978-454-4980. So Griselle is still on hold, right? We paused the Griselle stuff because it gets better. And I just want to finish that out before we go to a break. Although the phone lines are going crazy, so I will take your calls here on the Paying Attention Radio program at 978-454-4980. So Griselle Silva, she always acting of professionalism and still doesn't get it. She still doesn't get it. I don't know who this Griselle Silva is. For the first two terms that she was a city councilor, she used to attack people who had this exact philosophy about Latino-centric racism. And yet here she is engaging in exactly that. 978-454-4980. You're on the air. Oh, all right, good. No, play that. I thought you were going to the call first. So let's finish Griselle.
I believe the newspaper of record, it has been throughout the course for a long time, has been the Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Okay, just because they're an English-speaking newspaper only?
Why the newspaper of record? I can't speak to the custom as to why it's been like that for so long.
Okay, because, you know, we're referring just to a newspaper of record, and I know that for many years we also have other newspapers locally that carries the message. And, of course, I applaud you for all the great comments that you have put together, but we have to also keep in mind that when we were at the State House, I think that the number of people there were from residents, from Lawrence, residents.
Can you pause that?
From the city of Lawrence.
Yeah, you know why? You know why the majority of the residents from the city of Lawrence that showed up at the State House were Latino? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody? Anybody? How about because Willie Lantigua bust them in? Nelson Bhutan from Lawrence Community Works and the crew, he bust them in. That's why the majority of the people during the day, when most people actually work and have lives and have jobs, that's why during the day you saw about 20 or 30 Latinos from Lawrence sitting there and clapping and acting out of control at the Senate House Ways and Means Committee hearing. When Lawrence came up for their $35 million loan that they were looking for. That's why. It's not because the only people who care in Lawrence about this issue are Latino. It's because Willie bust them in. That's why. Go ahead. Let's finish this out.
There were like 90% Latinos over there. And,
Latinos.
I applaud them for being up at the State House in the public hearing. And they took the message because of the Spanish media that really took the outburst of sending a message very clearly, and they all went up to the state level and went to the public hearing. I just feel that, and I agree, that if we're going to carry a message, a positive message, that record for the newspaper needs to also carry positive message that the city does have, because the only thing that will be seen on those paper, in that particular newspaper that you're talking about, that record, the only thing they'll be doing since November election is carrying negative media throughout the entire city. So my understanding is that there's a community organizing to boycott this newspaper just for the negative media. They can't come in with the positive media. So I would like to also see that newspaper in record carry positive media and maybe carry some Spanish articles that they write in English that people don't understand, which is very negative. So I just want to put that to the record.
Or maybe what the Latino Spanish language newspapers could do, just to throw it out before, as we go to break, maybe when you pick up Siglo and there's a story about Willie Lantigua that I'd like to read, they could put it in English. After all, there's an awful lot of Latinos out there that read English. There's an awful lot of Latinos out there that don't even read Spanish. I know Latinos who can't even speak Spanish. So maybe instead of telling the Eagle Tribune that they should be carrying Spanish, maybe you should be telling Siglo 21 to put in a little more English. So that the Latinos who don't speak Spanish can kind of keep in touch with what's going on in the Latino community.
Did they not understand how much they're contradicting themselves?
Isn't it hysterical? I could spend a whole hour just on this.
I don't understand how they don't see the other side.
Because they don't care. It's all about situational ethics. What's right now? What's going to sound good right now? It doesn't matter what I said yesterday. Forget all that stuff I said about Willie Lantigua being a racist 6 months ago. Now it's Willie Lantigua was the best and we are Latino-centric racists. If you're a Latino in Lawrence, what do you think about all this? These are the people who represent you and say that they represent you. These are the people who are your leaders, according to them. What do you think about this? I'd love to hear from Latinos in Lawrence, 978-454-4980. Oh, God, I love Shakira.
Chet, presidente del Lawrence City Council, president of Lawrence City Council, Mr. Patrick Blanchett. Y Julia Silverio, que va a servir como traductora.
Buenos días.
Good afternoon.
Me alegro mucho estar con estudios en este día.
I am very happy to be here with you today, this afternoon.
Es muy importante que la ciudad de Lawrence reconozca la comunidad dominicana.
It's very important that the city of Lawrence recognizes the Dominican community of this city.
You can slow down, you're okay.
I'm okay.
Es un honor para me ser parte de esta ceremonia.
It is an honor for me to be part of this ceremony.
No más español.
He ran out of Spanish already.
Maracosa! Oh, it's over. All right. 978-454-49. That's Elvis Crespo. I could listen to that all day. I love Elvis Crespo. And I love Grupo Mani. I can't wait for Hispanic Week this year. I can't wait. Every year I look forward to Hispanic Week, but this year it's going to be the first Latino mayor, which means nothing to me but everything to them. And I am positive that this is going to be the best and the biggest Hispanic Week we've ever had in the city of Lawrence.
It's going to be like Mardi Gras.
I can't, I'm going to start counting the days. So today when I go home, I'm actually going to count out the days and I'm going to start marking my calendar.
When's the month?
It's usually the week of Father's Day, which is, I think, like the second week in June. So it's coming up. It's coming up quick. I mean, we know Election Day is my favorite day of the year. And St. Patrick's Day is tied for second place with Hispanic Week. Actually, I think Hispanic Week's probably better. Hispanic Week is a whole week. St. Patrick's Day is like a day.
Yeah. And it's on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's on a Wednesday this year.
978-454-4980. Omania! Who's first? Is it Bob or Tom?
We have Bob.
Let's take Bob. Bob from Lawrence, you're on the air.
¿Cómo estás, mi amigo Tomás?
Oh, muy bien, ¿y tú?
How we doing, my friend?
Okay.
Just okay.
Yeah. I don't have Paul today, so I'm a little off my game.
Well, some great issues going on in our wonderful community of Lawrence, as you know.
What do you think about Willie Lantigua driving around still with a house plate, even though he's no longer a state representative? Is that just a slap in the face to all the taxpayers?
But why should following the law all of a sudden matter to anyone since January 4th?
Well, you're a lawyer.
You've got Patrick Blanchett serving on the Interim Economic Development Director in violation of the 6-month rule in the ethics law, the state ethics law.
Yep.
You know, you've got job postings the day after people have been fired for allegedly budgetary reasons. You've got a layoff of an employee who was reinstated by the city council in violation of law. So why? What's the big deal? What's another transgression on top of all the others?
Yeah, like who's going to pay attention to the plate with all that other stuff going on?
But it's clear, too, that no one really wants to pay attention to Lawrence anyway. It's like that crazy uncle who shows up at dinner every holiday. You give him his plate of food, you stick him in the corner, and let him yell at the TV all day.
Right.
I mean, that's really what this has come down to.
Yeah, and anytime the kids say, hey, what's wrong with Uncle Ernie, you go, no, just leave him alone. Just let him do his thing.
Exactly.
We don't want problems.
You know, so when you run into these politicians and they ask you what's going on in Lawrence, you know, it's a joke. We've become... We're not even on a par above a Chelsea or a Springfield or a Holyoke anymore. We have become the laughingstock of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And when you get into some regional issues, Southern New Hampshire, Rhode Island, you know, that's what we've become. We've become a joke of ourselves.
What really hurts me, though, Bob, is that there are a lot of Latinos in Lawrence who don't subscribe to this kind of racism. And they are being painted with a broad brush when Willie Lantigua does these kinds of things. I mean, he's the one who extols himself and lifts himself up on the pedestal as the representative of the Latino community, as does Grisel Silver. And yet, if I was a Latino, I'd be insulted that someone like that is saying they represent me.
There are a lot of Latinos in the community. And you know, can we just call them Laurentians? Because that's what they are. They're not necessarily Latinos. They're not necessarily Anglos. They're not necessarily Vietnamese. They are Laurentians. They are people who have set down roots here. They either were born here and are raising a family here, or they've moved here from elsewhere, whether they moved here from New York or the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico. Regardless of where they've come from, they are Laurentians first, in my eyes.
Yep.
And they have dedicated themselves to building a community here for themselves, for their family, as Laurentians. And it's always been, I've always been bemused by this need to have constant 24-hour Spanish radio, or this need for constant weekly gossip and twisted news stories in newspapers that are solely in Spanish. And the reason why I'm bemused by it is because when you go to hospitals, when you go to airports, when you go other places of business, who are holding the lowest rung job in that place usually? And it's someone who is not an Anglo, and is someone who clearly is come here trying to make a better place for themselves, a better place for their family economically. But if you're going to insist on operating in a language, whether it's Armenian, whether it's German, whether it's Spanish, if you're going to insist on operating in a language that is not English, you are holding yourself back economically in this country, regardless of whether you're living in a community that's 70% Latino or 90% Anglo, as in the case of Andover or North Andover. You're holding yourself back economically. So I sit there and I'm laughing because you got to say to yourself, in 40 years when you're still got some sort of menial level job, and you haven't gone to school to better yourself, and you haven't chosen to participate in this country's cultural and educational improvement activities, you got to say to yourself, man, I really screwed up. And it's just amazing that this whole insistence on everything's got to be done in Spanish. You want to shut yourself out from the rest of the world? Fine, do it on your own time, but don't drag the rest of us down with you.
You know, let me ask you this, Bob from Lawrence. What would have happened if a year ago Mike Sullivan declared that it was his intention, not that it was just happening that way, but that it was his intention to not advertise city jobs in Spanish language newspapers?
You know, I get a kick out of Grisel the other day because she sits there and attacks the Sullivan administration. I got to say, you know me, I'm not a fan of the Sullivan administration by any means. But I got to say, the Sullivan administration, in the 8 years they were in power, probably did more to reach out to every segment of the community than any other mayor prior to him, whether it was advertising in the newspapers, whether it was going on Spanish radio, whether it was hiring Latinos and other minorities within City Hall to assist all Laurentians in wending their way through the myriad of agencies that are down there. Whatever it was, I would say that Michael Sullivan and his administration did more to reach out to not only Latino and non-Anglo parts of the community, but also to political opponents, if you will. If you remember, let's go back some time now. Let's dial back. I ran the campaign for Marcos Devers to replace Michael Sullivan 5 years ago. And one of the first things after that election, I got a call from Michael Sullivan saying that, you know, listen, we may have been on a different sides of this equation, but you have a lot to offer. You were on the LRA. If there's other things that you want to participate in the city, you know, let's sit down and talk. So eventually I applied for a job on the zoning board and got on the zoning board. And I know he'd done that with other people as well, Latino and Anglo. He reached out to various people in the community to try to work towards improving our city together, not in these balkanized factions that apparently is the want of the henchmen that basically are working within the Lantigua administration. I don't necessarily put this on the mayor in terms of these are his motivations. I think these are the motivations of the people he's hired. The mayor is content being the figurehead, if you will, the official greeter, the going out and saying hi to everyone. It's the people he's put in place that have effected certain policies that are not necessarily the best for the entire community.
You know, I have no problem, Bob, with Willie or any mayor saying we're going to give preference to Lawrence people for Lawrence jobs. I actually don't even have a problem with them saying we're only going to hire people from Lawrence to do Lawrence jobs, although I think that's a little bit more of a stretch. But I don't think I'd even have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is breaking it up by race, because, again, I grew up being taught by my parents who were not racist, who told me to always not look at someone's race when you're judging them, that was called racism, that when you purposely exclude a race of people or only include a race of people, that's racism. I don't understand why people aren't calling it what it is. It's racism.
Absolutely. And what it ends up doing is setting us back several steps, setting us back several years, because when you do look at the progress that's been made in trying to get everyone on the same page, in trying to improve the whole community, not just segments of the community, you know, I got to say, Sullivan did a considerable amount of work reaching out to various segments of the community to try to move things forward in a positive way. If you know, you can say whatever you want about the guy. The guy was a very positive guy when it came down to it.
Sickeningly, almost
as a sycophant, if you will.
Yeah.
And but there was that effort made. I don't see where in the first 40 or so days of this administration that's the case. This is more, it seems to me, more of a case of moving things backwards, circling the wagons around certain segments of the Latino community. I would challenge anyone out there to just go down to a Northern Essex, go to other types of centers of economic activity in our city and talk to the people there. Talk to homeowners who are Latino. Talk to homeowners who are Anglo. Talk to homeowners who are Vietnamese and get a sense of where they're coming from. And I would bet you, that the Latinos I know who are homeowners and are professionals and have good-paying jobs and are dedicated to this community are not happy with what's going on with the types of Griselle Silva and others in this community.
All right, we're going to take another call, but I appreciate your thoughts, Mr. Bob from Lawrence. And
one quick other point.
Go ahead.
And I'll forward this to you. I saw an email yesterday from Frank Bonet, marked confidential, out to Ruth Rojas, where basically Bonet is asking Ruth Rojas to reach out to her LCW cohorts to get active in applying for and recruiting other LCW people to apply for the boards and commissions openings that are coming up over the next several months. So
that's just outrageous. Can I get a copy of that?
I'll see what I can forward to you. I got it on my BlackBerry, and I will get it to you. And again, where is the outreach to the rest of the world in terms of getting all people focused on improving our community, not just the LCW types who have a vested interest and just grabbing more state dollars, more federal dollars, and using it to move our city backwards, not forward.
Wow. All right, Bob. All right, very good. Is he still there?
You there? I'm here.
All right, Bob, I appreciate the call.
Anytime. Keep up the good work.
All righty. So not bad, huh, Timmy? The people at Lawrence Community Works, the poverty pimp organization in Lawrence, Lawrence Community Works, who get thousands of dollars of state and federal money and have over the years gotten millions of dollars in state and federal money that goes through the city of Lawrence and some city money, they're now, thanks to Frank Bonet, they're being encouraged by the city personnel director, the people who work for Lawrence Community Works, to apply for jobs on the zoning board, the planning board. And isn't that convenient for Bill Traynor and Lawrence Community Works, because they've often got to go before those boards to get approvals for all these low-income housing deals that they're putting together with your tax money. So now if Nelson Bhutan from Lawrence Community Works gets appointed to the planning board or the zoning board, anybody really think he's going to recuse himself when an LCW property comes up before him and he's got to vote on it? I bet you he doesn't. I bet you he doesn't. And how funny is it that the personnel director is selectively sending out letters to specific people to encourage them to specifically apply for specific jobs? You might as well just call them on the phone and say, the job is yours if you want it. Why don't you come down and apply? Why even bother putting it in writing? Seriously. Like, Frank's a smart guy. I'm really surprised that he would do something like that, but I'm going to take Bob at his word. 978-454-4980. We've got about 3 minutes left for news. And I'm just shocked. I mean, the more I hear, the more documents I get, the more I drive around the city, the more I see, the more stunned I am. I mean, I know I told you guys back in, I don't know, June, that if Willie Lantigua won, it was going to be this good. I really didn't think it was going to be this. I knew it was going to be great. I knew it was going to be like, I think I likened it to a nuclear missile hitting Lawrence. This is like 10 nuclear missiles hitting Lawrence.
You called it.
He's got the house plate he's driving around with. He's trying to recruit people from LCW so they can vote on their own properties.
Can they do that?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a radio guy and a newspaper guy. But we've got guys like Bob out there who just called in, who is a lawyer. And, of course, we've got Paula, who's our crack lawyer on our staff at the Valley Patriot, who can look that kind of stuff up.
Is the conflict of interest something?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. But, you know, we've had lots of conflicts of interest. We had Patrick Blanchett sat as the city council president back in November. He voted against Tommy Chavone getting the economic development director's job.
And then...
And guess who got the economic development director's job when Willie took
Patrick
office?
Blanchett.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, really, where is the Ethics Commission? Asleep. Where are they? Where's Mr. Galvin's office? They're in the tank. Where's Martha Coakley, as Michelle McVie says, also in the tank? And quite frankly, I hope they continue to be in the tank. I hope nobody ever gets arrested for any of this stuff. I hope nobody ever gets fined for any of this stuff, because that benefits me. Not so good for Lawrence. And if you're a Latino in Lawrence, let me just tell you, your vote, your voice matters. If you don't agree with this kind of baloney, if you think that this is a slap in your face and makes you look bad, you need to be speaking out against it, because when I say it, I'm just a racist. I just hate Latinos. That's the accusation. Doesn't matter how many times I've endorsed Marcos Devers or Nilka Alvarez or Grisel Silva or other Latinos. All that gets thrown aside. You criticize Willie, you're a racist. You criticize his policies, you're a racist. So we need Latinos to start stepping forward and say, well, I'm a Latino and I don't agree with that. A little bit more than just Domingo Melendez, who does yeoman's work at doing exactly what I explained. But there need to be a lot more Domingo Melendezes out there. And hopefully we're going to hear from them on this program throughout the next 4 years. 978-454-4980 is the number here on the Paying Attention radio program. In the next hour, we're going to get to our hero firefighters, police officers, and EMTs throughout the valley, thanks to the Lawrence Exchange Club.
if you're not paying attention.
No, and correct. Once again, under your leadership, you've allowed politics to take the wrong course.
No, you're trying to interject politics into a non-political situation.
Really?
There
okay.
was no politics. Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're the greatest lobbyist. Right. I will yield to you that you are the greatest lobbyist that ever lived.
Yes,
I'm going to send you to your corners in a couple of seconds.
So don't miss a minute. Paying Attention with Tom Duggan.
I'm Gretchen Putnam, managing editor of the Eagle Tribune, and you shouldn't be listening to Paying Attention.
That's perfect. The big thing about Willie is he has great passion for Lawrence. I mean, there's nobody that has more passion for the city of Lawrence. I mean, I'm basically, and I'm proud to say it, I'm probably his best friend. I've been his friend for 15 years. I love the guy. I have great respect for him. He ran for mayor. All the odds were against him, and he won. And he won pretty handily. I think, Senator, I have faith in everything Mayor Lantigua. Maybe I'm not the most objective person. I am objective a lot. But I feel strongly he can do what he has in the 5 months.
Man, Tim, you've got everything over there today. You're cranking. You are cranking. 978-454-4980. I actually cut that during the break, folks. I so desperately wanted to get that on last week, and I just didn't have time. And I so desperately wanted to get it on this week, and I didn't have any time. So normally the things that I do during the news break just got thrown out the window so I could just mix that. Because it's just too funny. And to have Gretchen Putnam, that in and of itself is funny enough to laugh for an hour. Managing editor of the Eagle Tribune. Yeah, please don't listen to him. We don't want you listening to him. We don't want him promoting the Valley Patriot. 978-454-4980 is the phone number. So in national news, I just have one other thing that I really want to get to. Let me make sure I pull this up, though. One other thing in national news that we are going to talk about at length on another show, but I just want to preview it right now. And if we can get Nikki Tsongas on the program at some point this week or next week, or maybe if I can get her even off the air, we're going to need to get some quotes on this. Because Barack Obama, our president, has been blocking attack helicopters that were bound for Israel. Stated reason? Because he's afraid they're going to use it against the Palestinians. Well, no duh. Hello? Yeah, we'd love to give Israel some missiles and some helicopters so they could defend themselves against the millions of Muslims trying to eradicate them. But if he uses it against the terrorists like Hamas in the Palestinian territories, then I don't know if I can go along with that. What? Paula is feverishly tracking down some sources that we have at the Pentagon and some national defense source people that we have that we generally don't use because we're a local paper. But when I saw this and when Paula saw this, we just shaking my head saying, I don't get this at all. Don't you want Israel to be able to destroy Hamas? Don't you want them to destroy terrorists? I would think you would. You're the president of the United States. I know you care about this country. So why are you blocking? Even Chuck Schumer, I almost said it the other way around. Even Chuck Schumer, who's a liberal, lefty, left-leaning Democrat, institutional socialist, who supports Obama and did support Obama, went to the White House this week and begged the president not to hold up these helicopters that Israel needs to defend themselves against the millions of Muslims trying to destroy them. And he doesn't care. He's made it perfectly clear that it's more important to him to protect the terrorists in the Palestinian territories than to protect Israel. And by the way, who told you that was coming? I mean, I remember before the election talking an awful lot about Israel. It happens to be one of my passions. And I'm telling you that if this guy gets elected, he's not helping Israel. And my in-laws, who are very left-leaning Jewish New York Brooklyn liberals, love Barack Obama. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I just wonder what those left-wing American Jews, those liberal American Jews who have a soft spot in their heart for Israel, who want Israel to survive the onslaught of millions of Muslims trying to destroy them every day. I wonder what they think about this. And by the way, you haven't heard about it on Fox News. You haven't heard about it on MSNBC.
You haven't heard about it on NBC, CBS. You haven't heard about it in any of the mainstream American media. You know why? Because we're all talking about Tiger Woods.
I saw it. It was a scroll, small scroll line across the bottom during the Tiger Woods.
During the Tiger Woods thing. So how, Timmy, how funny is that? The real news is Tiger Woods, but across the bottom, the little side note is Obama not protecting Israel. No big ding. We'll get to that when we can. Right now, though, we want to make sure you get every word of Tiger Woods cheating on his wife because that's what's important. Are you kidding me? Honestly? I said to Paula yesterday, I said, maybe this is just the sign that end times are here. It's like bizarro world. Everything's opposite. Everything's backwards. You would think that they'd be holding a press conference with Chuck Schumer or a press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, decrying President Obama not giving them the tools that they need to fight terrorism, which also benefits us, by the way. But instead, it's wall-to-wall, 24/7 Tiger Woods. I don't understand it. But the good news, Scott Brown and the wave that has come with Scott Brown, hopefully, is going to send American politics in a different direction. Hopefully, you people in Massachusetts who are now setting the standard, hopefully you're going to be out there saying no more. No more $35 million to Lawrence without an oversight board. No more of this not protecting Israel. We're going to go out, we're going to support people who are going to listen to us and not the insiders. We're going to listen to us and not the special interest groups. Also, as a side note, pretty interesting, Timmy, is that, you know, Scott Brown, former military guy, there's an awful lot of other military guys that are now running for office. Paula Vella, who's running for office, who's got, I mean, military qualifications up the yin-yang. You've got all kinds of people running now who have served in Iraq, served in Afghanistan, come back to this country and seen that the Democrats and Republicans in Congress are completely out of touch. I mean, it's not exclusive to one party. The Republicans are screwing the pooch just as much as anybody else. I don't hear the heads of the Republican Party at CPAC crying about what's going on in Israel. I mean, it's good that a whole bunch of conservatives get together and have a tea party, but how about focusing on some good issues, some real issues that, I don't know, protect you and your family? Just me, maybe. But it's actually taking military guys who have gone over and seen action to come back and now run for office and try and influence our government in that way because the Democrats and Republicans at the national level are just not listening. They're completely out of touch. We've got these rules of engagement. There was a thing on Fox News yesterday with Juan Williams from NPR and Krauthammer, the columnist, talking about the rules of engagement in Afghanistan. That if someone is shooting at one of our military guys, if someone's shooting at one of our Marines, and we've got him in our crosshairs, we've got him in our sights to take him down, but he throws his gun down and puts his hands up and says, okay, forget it, I give up, they can't shoot him. They have to take him into custody. And within, I don't know how many hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, they have to turn him over to the local law enforcement of that country. What?
Even if he takes out
12 guys first, and then he puts his gun down because he knows he's about to go, we're supposed to treat him like a common criminal who robs a store 24 here in this country. I'm honestly surprised Barack Obama doesn't have a legion of lawyers over in Afghanistan and in Iraq to Mirandize people and to defend them for free as we take them off the battlefield. Can you imagine if we were in World War II like that? Just imagine. It really makes you wonder if they get it at all. The one thing I have noticed about the Obama administration, and we're going to talk about our heroes here at home, they constantly seem dazed by the consequences of the out-of-touch decisions that they make. Barack Obama wants to have the trial of terrorists in New York City, and he thinks that's just a great thing because he's doing it based on political ideology, not fact and reality, and then is stunned that the people of New York don't want it there. Stunned that there's a media backlash. I mean, they come out and they say that the underwear bomber, he was acting alone. It's no big thing. Let's give him a lawyer. Let's let him Miranda. Let's let him shut up. Let's make sure he can't testify against himself. Let's treat him like a common criminal. And then they're stunned when it turns out he's part of Al-Qaeda. They're baffled that people are upset by those decisions and the consequences of those decisions. And it's just by being out of touch. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's they're out of touch. So we need more military guys. You know, Colonel Sam would be a great guy. I'd love to see Colonel Sam run for office. He's a liberal. He's a lefty. He's pot socialist. He's all of those things. But he gets it. He gets it. He's been in battle. He's been over there. And that's what we need. We need our military guys, unfortunately, to save our rear end over there and then come back here and save our rear ends here. 978-454-4980. We'll take your call. Then we're going to take a break. I'm going to talk about the heroes in Lawrence, Andover, and North Andover. Firefighters, police officers, and EMTs who go out there every day and do what our troops do. With more restrictions than our troops have. With more problems than our troops have. And they still go out and they do it every day. You're live on the air on WCAP's Paying Attention Radio program where everybody gets it.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, sir, where'd that come from? I must have done something nice to you today.
Well, I just didn't know who you were, so I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. Now I know who you are. Get off my phone. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Hey, listen. I got a question for you. I heard Warren talk about this earlier in the week on station about user fees for municipalities.
Yep.
Did you hear that thing?
No, I didn't.
He was suggesting like a $200 user fee for a library to maintain that library.
Yep.
And I was kind of, you know, at first it shocked me, like, man, $200. And then the more I thought about it, I wonder why municipalities couldn't charge some kind of whatever reasonable user fee. And I just started kicking around the idea of the library that I go down here in Andover. It's free. I can rent up-to-date movies for $1, keep them out for a week. And I also go to, I bought one of those memberships at a video store because I like having the, you know, watching TV on my own time because of my hours. I spend $30 a month on that, in between a movie and a game for the kid, a video game.
So how would this user fee work? Who would pay it?
The individual using the municipality services.
So you're saying if for anybody to use the library, it would cost them $200 a year. I would assume you would exclude children from that, or maybe students from that. But yeah, maybe not a bad idea. It doesn't even have to be $200. Maybe it's $50. Maybe it's $75. But it would generate some revenue.
Yeah, I mean, I would think children, seniors, and I don't know, you throw something, veterans, disabled could be. It would have to be veterans because the disabled thing, I just started thinking about Lawrence.
Yeah.
They would make absolutely no money because the whole town's disabled and on the dole. You know? But, I mean, and for no good reason either. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I was thinking about it. And, I mean, Tommy, if you really think about things, like I go into the library and I see a lot of businessmen taking access of the internet and the printers and the fax machines, and it costs you pennies. All you need is some change in your pocket to use all that service. Now, what about the same thing if you go to, like, a Staples? What kind of money are they charging you to do that stuff?
Yep.
So right. in other words, use more of a business plan on some, and all these municipalities have all these facilities already in place. It's not like they have to expend a huge amount of money to do this, to be competitive with all the private business in the town.
Now, what do you think, Patch, about Lenny Degnan floating the idea before the Senate House Ways and Means Committee of starting to charge people for garbage? I can't imagine the Latinos in Lawrence are going to like that.
I was thinking I don't know the whole gig, and maybe you could fill me in a little bit better. What's the gig with the barrels that get picked up, but it's only kind of like on the south side of the city? I don't understand the whole thing. It's quicker, it saves more money. I don't get it.
I guess they've got a special machine on the trucks that almost kind of like a forklift kind of thing specifically tailored to the size and shape of the barrel to just grab the barrels and dump them in, kind of like a dumpster that we have out here in the back. You know, they get the trucks come up, they hook it up, they dump it backwards into the truck, and then they take off. And it's similar to that. And the reason why it wasn't all over the city is because they had to pilot it first and work out some of the kinks. So they picked specific neighborhoods where it would be easier for them to do this sort of garbage pickup. And then once they worked out the kinks, they could do it completely citywide rather than wasting the money citywide and then working out the kinks.
I thought you were going to say they chose a specific area because those are the people who actually throw out their trash and not toss it over the fence.
No, door. I was thinking it, but I would never say that.
I know. And I'll let you go with this. I have never, ever seen you You hit the lottery 5 times in the last few months. You have Christmas all year round.
Yeah, it really, it's like the election never stopped. We're in week 62 of the 2009 election. I couldn't be more thrilled.
You know, you have hit the lottery, and I mean, anything good, it's amazing. Not that you don't deserve it, but it blows my mind. Every time I open the paper, I start laughing, and you come to mind.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Patch.
Keep up the, and I really wish, it's happened before, would love to see you more during the week.
Well, you know, I've been on, I think I was on 4 times this week. So if you are listening to CAP anyway, don't just tune in to hear me, but for people at home. But if you're listening to CAP anyway throughout the week, you're going to hear me 3 or 4 times, maybe even more a week now, because there's so much going on that I'm constantly being called and they're saying, can you give us an update?
I would almost think that the reincarnation of paying attention and then the sweet spot would be a nice thing.
Well, you know, if at some point I can hire somebody at the Valley Patriot to take on some of the duties that I'm doing, I would be willing to do another Paying Attention Daily program. But, you know, we'd have to work out some kinks first, but it could happen. I mean, it's something that that is always in the back of my mind, and I think maybe in the back of some of the people here's minds. It's just a matter of working it out and making it happen.
Think of the just and when it happened before, and I had spoken to you. I think I wrote you a poem that day or something stupid.
That was
imagine the blood pressure of all the local Pauls if that were to happen. You were on 6 days a week or 5 days.
You know what? I don't think Willie Lantigua has ever called this station, but I guarantee you, the day after he heard about that, he would be on the phone with the owners of this station trying to stop me from having a daily show in 3 seconds. And nothing would make me happier because I know they'd tell him to pound sand.
See what he did. Everything comes back in spades on an individual when you and him had a little tussle.
And listen, Patch, here's what bothers me about all of this, although I am benefiting from it, is that it didn't have to happen this way. If Willie Lantigua had taken office and put his armor on Miles Burke and Mike Sweeney and some of the people that he felt he needed to get rid of and said, look, you know, I can't have you guys here. You're part of the Sullivan administration. You know, Lenny and Patrick, they don't get along with you. You don't get along with them. I'll give you a recommendation for a job somewhere. I'll give you 30 days to find another job. And I'm not going to embarrass you publicly. And I'm not going to attack you publicly. All this could have been different. He would have had his $35 million loan, and he wouldn't have half the problems that he has. But because he had to go in like a hurricane and just start attacking people out of the gate and abusing his authority out of the gate, here we are.
Yeah, well, I mean, on each of those gentlemen that you mentioned, like Miles a lot, having on your resume that he was a trash coordinator for the housing in Lawrence, really don't think he can be a department head for the thing, even with his experience.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, Mike, brilliant guy, attorney. Boy, what, just on your legal advice alone, what you'd want somebody on your team. I never got that. I thought Willie would have been smarter than that no matter if they don't get along or not, just to have a legal advisor, and you know, a different legal advisor on your side if you didn't agree with the attorneys of the city.
If Willie had come in and he had hired 2 people as interims right out of the gate for a chief of staff and whatever Patrick's doing these days, and he had tapped into people that he knew who had run colleges or former state reps and tapped into the people he knew in Boston and brought in some professionals just temporarily to help him get up to speed on what the budget was and what all the problems in Lawrence were that he was going to have to be dealing with, he wouldn't be where he is. But out of his own mouth, he says, I am loyal to a fault, and that fault, I believe, is going to be the end of Willie Lantigua at some point.
Yeah, who knows? And I'm more than willing to give the guy a lot of time. I mean, time. It's not fair. He's just getting ripped way too fast. There was that little thing in there, what do you call it, the Alabama Tribune?
Yes.
Of what he's done so far.
Yeah.
And it was just a little square, and I read it, and I was like, okay, the guy has done something.
Sure.
It's not, you know, getting money back. What was the latest thing? Shutting people's water off or something like that?
Yeah, that's, you know what, and to his credit, Mike Sullivan should have been doing that 8 years ago.
You know, let's see. A couple things I would really like to see him do now, of course, I don't think one of them would ever happen. Get a true and accurate count of the census of the people in Lawrence. If you have to beg for money per capita of people, per capita of income, why not get a true and accurate figure, Tommy? Wouldn't it make more sense, instead of saying there's 73,000, there's actually like 120 or 115,000 people? Doesn't that mean more money for the city?
Yeah, it does mean a lot more money for the city based on the census. I know that the census, we posted a story on the Valley Patriots Facebook fan page about how the census is now out there trying to count illegals and how much money they're wasting doing all these foolish things. If people would just put their ideology aside and focus on the job that they're supposed to do and what that job is supposed to produce, we'd be in much better shape, whether you're Anglo, Latino, Black, Asian, whatever.
Yeah. This. I'm more than willing. I read that thing and I was like, okay, there's a lot of money to be made over there. I mean, I'm not talking about the vultures circling for the $50 million or $30 million or whatever that's going to be coming in there at some point. I'm talking about there's a chunk of change you can make on that, Tommy. There's no two ways about it. Just alone, Tom, just to sell off some of the housing stock, get it with veterans coming back, disabled vets, blah, 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 and turn it over. I mean, any house in Lawrence that could be sold, it's in reasonable shape right now, falls under veterans, and you can get a note for that, and have a mortgage, a good mortgage, not one that's going to disappear and the house is going to go back off the tax rolls again.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, Patch. I appreciate your thoughts and agree with you today at least.
Wow, we're doing good. Huh? This is scary.
It really is.
All right, I'll mess up sooner or later. Don't worry about it.
Please do, because that's much more fun.
Bye bye.
All right, 978-454-4980. Lawrence police officers, firefighters, and EMTs. Andover and North Andover, firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. Honored by the Lawrence Exchange Club last month. We've got some audio. I think it's important to take some time. Wish I could have done it a couple weeks ago, but we've got it now. And it's important to take some time to listen to the heroic acts these brave men and women engage in and to honor them for going out every single day and putting their life on the line of duty to help you, me, and oftentimes people who don't deserve it. Back after this on the Paying Attention Radio program, where everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. Even Lenny Diddy Degnan.
Know what happens if you're not paying attention?
If we just reduce the city council back to a reasonable $5,200 stipend a year, which is what they used to get, the city of Lawrence, but taxpayers like you, Sharon, would save $100,000 a year from that one move alone. Enough is enough. Enough is enough in Lawrence. Enough is enough in Beacon Hill. Let's have some accountability. If we've got to rescue Lawrence, let's do it, but let's do it with professional, detached people who are actually going to cut where it needs to be cut and get the city back on track.
So don't miss a minute. Paying Attention with Tom Duggan.
This is Andrea Trafficante, neighborhood liaison to Mayor Sullivan, and when I'm not singing Kumbaya, I'm listening to the Paying Attention radio program with Tom Duggan.
Soy su gato, ella es mi gata en celo. Quiere buscar rebuleo del pueblo. Quiere mi que no le gusta el biblineo. Y cuando canto hasta abajo con mi perreo. Por ahí anda su novio en un fantasmeo. Está que esta noche va a haber un tiroteo. Dile que yo ando con mi gato en el patrulleo.
Ya que se la han bajurado, me lo llevo.
Dale, dale, don, dale. Pa' que se muevan las yales. Pa' activar los anormales y al que se repale, botel, dale.
Quite as good as Don Omar. I'm going to practice doing this phone number in Spanish all week this week. And next week when I come in, I'm going to start giving the phone number in English and in Spanish. Now, I know it's going to drive the base of my listeners crazy, but just have a little faith. There's always a method to my madness. I often have people say to me, I read what you said about so-and-so. Why did you do that? That's so awful. And I say, just have faith. Just follow me. Just get in the bus and let me drive. I know what I'm doing. Looney Tunes! 978-454-4980. Can't wait for Hispanic Week. Just can't wait. And I can tell you that every year during Hispanic Week, there's almost no crime. I know that's hard to believe given the reputation that the city of Lawrence has. I personally go to Hispanic Week every single year, and I spend almost every minute of Hispanic Week at Hispanic Week. It's one of my favorite things in the world. You've got hundreds of thousands of Latinos from all over the country, in fact, all over the world, come to Lawrence for the Hispanic Week festivals. Puerto Rican night, Brazilian night, Dominican night, Venezuelan night. They've got a night for almost every Latino country out there. And then they've got the festivities on the common on the weekend. And every year I ask Lawrence Police Chief John Romero, who really doesn't tell me squat, except at Hispanic Week, I always go over to him and I ask him when Hispanic Week is over, Chief, how many arrests did you have to make at Hispanic Week this year? And every single year, except last year, I think they had two. But every single year he says to me, zero, Tom. We had zero drug busts. We had zero busts for assault and battery. We had zero busts for rape, murder, drugs, guns. It just doesn't happen. You have, now think about this. This is what Lawrence could be. If people could just behave themselves that way the rest of the year, we'd all be happy. And this year, I hope it's going to be no different. This year, hopefully, the two knuckleheads that got arrested last year who ruined our perfect record will not come to Hispanic Week, and the rest of us can enjoy great food, some of the greatest food you'll ever taste in your life, some of the greatest music you'll ever hear in your life, some of the greatest shows. The kids get up and do some great shows. And I'm hoping this is going to be the best Hispanic Week ever. I'm still trying to get back on the board of Hispanic Week. And given all of that, you think about the police officers that have to go into that situation. God forbid anything ever did happen in Hispanic Week with thousands and thousands of people from all over the world, all over the country, and all over New England packed into one spot. If anything bad ever did happen, these guys who put on a uniform every day would be there. They would be going into the crowds while people are running away from the crowds. Last month, the Lawrence Exchange Club, as they do every year, honored Lawrence firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. Andover and North Andover, firefighters, EMTs, and police officers for the heroism and bravery that they engage in throughout the year. Remember last year we had North Andover police officer Dan Lannon, who jumped into a pond with his boots still on and dragged a guy up to the top and gave him CPR, and I believe he and a few other guys actually brought the guy back a couple of times, who eventually did die on his way to the hospital. We also last year talked a little bit about the North Andover police officer who was on a paid detail duty, a construction job, a road job, heard on his radio that someone was collapsed in a parking lot a few blocks away and wasn't breathing, jumped in his car, left the detail, went over and revived the guy. He's still walking around today. Because that North Andover police officer was on a paid detail. A flagman who's got a criminal record is not going to be doing that, Governor Deval Patrick, if you're paying attention. State representatives and candidates for state representatives, if you're paying attention. Let's start off with Andover. Andover firefighters were involved in some pretty good heroism this year. Let's just play that first clip. It's 31. I'm sorry, I should have given you the number beforehand, and I apologize for that. Ready to go? Here we go. Andover firefighters.
Chief Edward Croker of the Fire Department of New York City, speaking upon the death of a deputy chief and four firefighters in February of 1908, said, "When a man becomes a fireman, his greatest act of bravery has been accomplished. What he does after that is all in the line of work." Let's honor also some of our outstanding firefighters in our community. And at this time, I'd like to call upon Chief Michael Mansfield of the Andover Fire Department.
An excerpt from Andover Fire Rescue's mission statement states, "We are dedicated to assisting those in need, regardless of the severity of the problem." The mission, along with the value of Andover Fire Rescue service to those in need, define the character of the organization. Values are a common denominator that all fire rescue personnel support, as they are the foundation, the standards, and in many instances reflect the organizational culture. At 12:31 hours on May 4th, 2009, Andover Fire Rescue Engine 3 and Ambulance 2 were dispatched to the Chateau Restaurant located at 131 River Road for the report of a person choking in the lounge area. While en route to the incident, the responding companies were notified by Andover Dispatch that CPR was in progress on scene. Upon arrival on scene at 12:35 hours, the citizen was performing CPR on the male patient and was requested by emergency responders from Andover Fire Rescue to stop CPR. Once CPR ceased, and Andover Fire Rescue personnel assumed patient care, a rapid and thorough primary assessment was completed by firefighter EMT Morgese. Firefighter EMT Morgese determined that the patient had a very weak and slow pulse and was in respiratory arrest. The firefighter and EMTs on the rest of the crew began rescue breathing through the use of an AMBU bag and oxygen. While rescue breathing was in progress, firefighter KO prepared a nasal airway for insertion into the patient. As rescue breathing continued by other crew members, the patient's pulse rate began to increase. At 12:37 hours and only 2 minutes after Engine 3 was on scene, Ambulance 2 arrived on scene with two additional firefighter EMTs who began assisting the Engine 3 crew. Firefighter EMT Morgese performed another assessment of the patient and determined that there was a large piece of meat obstructing the airway of the patient and that he would not be able to remove it without advanced life support adjunct equipment that is carried on the Lawrence General Hospital paramedic unit, which was also responding to the scene. The LGA paramedics arrived soon after the airway obstruction was recognized by the Andover Fire Rescue crews and were notified that the crew of P2 via radio of the patient's airway obstruction. Immediately, the crew from Lawrence General Hospital stepped into action and performed another airway assessment, which included a visualization of the patient's vocal cords and recognized a 99% airway obstruction was evident as the result of a large piece of meat. The Lawrence General Hospital paramedics were able to successfully complete and clear the patient's airway and then intubated the patient while on scene. The patient was transported to Lawrence General Hospital by Andover Fire Rescue Ambulance, and once in the emergency room, the patient began to regain consciousness to a point the breathing tube that was inserted on scene just minutes prior to arrival at the hospital was removed. It is due to the teamwork and seamless operations by all responders involved that this incident had a positive outcome. The personnel nominated to receive the Firefighter of the Year award define and reflect the department's overall strategies and provide vision for the future. I would like to commend the following personnel for their actions on May 4, 2009. From Engine Company 3, Acting Lieutenant James Landry Sr., Firefighter Joseph Cahill, and Firefighter Christopher Morgese. Also, the two Firefighter EMTs that were on Ambulance 2, Firefighter EMT Brian Wright and Firefighter EMT Ryan Beal. If it was not for the actions of these five individuals working together as a cohesive team, this would not have had a positive outcome. And from what I understand, In speaking to somebody who knows the individual, this individual has fully recovered and is living a normal life as a result of these actions. So my hat's off to these individuals.
Just one of the many heroic things that our firefighters and our EMTs do every single day. And as I've stated before and I'll say again, oftentimes for people, not in this case, but oftentimes for people who don't deserve it. Oftentimes, just think about this, a guy gets into a shootout with a police officer and he gets hit, and then it's the police officer who's giving him CPR while they're waiting for the ambulance to show up to try and save the guy's life. That's what these guys deal with every single day. They are heroes in our community, and I don't think we thank them enough. And it's not just the police officers, it's firefighters, and it's even EMTs, and I want to applaud the Exchange Club of Lawrence for adding EMTs into this, because I know I've been at scenes where EMTs are trying to drag somebody into an ambulance to get them to the hospital and shots ring out or a conflict happens. A couple of years ago, there was a situation where an EMT had to wrestle a guy with a knife while he was trying to resuscitate somebody on the ground. So hats off to the Lawrence Exchange Club. And hats off to the Andover firefighters who were involved in that incident. I'm going to skip down to clip number 34 to a guy who's been a Lawrence firefighter for years and years. And he got this award for numerous reasons, none the least of which is that Gary Clement is one of the guys that when they go to a fire, if somebody dies, he's the guy that has to go make the notifications to the family. And if you don't think that that affects a human being, even a hardened human being like a police officer or a firefighter, you're wrong. They do. They do affect them. And here is North Andover Fire Chief Martineau, who is retiring, unfortunately. And actually, I don't even know if this is Martineau. Let's just play the clip and see if it's him or if it's a deputy chief.
I'd like to call upon Chief Brian Murphy of the Lawrence Fire Department for this presentation.
And this is the Lawrence Fire. I'm sorry. I said North Andover.
Good evening. I would also like to thank the Exchange Clubs for tonight's event. I hope the Exchange Clubs realizes how important this is for firefighters and police officers. There are very, very few times that we can show to the deserving officers of both departments, police and fire, what we really think of them, and this is very helpful, what's going on here tonight with the Exchange Club. I also want to show my appreciation to everybody who's here tonight, not only the recipients, but their families, department members, Exchange Club members, and friends. This is an excellent turnout for these men and women being honored here tonight. Lawrence Fire Department has many men and women that give 100% of their duties every day for the department. Tonight we're going to honor somebody who not only gives that, but we have several people who, in addition to their normal duties, volunteer for other duties and responsibilities. Tonight, Gary Clement is being honored. Gary Clement has spent 32 years working for the Lawrence Fire Department. He actually just retired this January 4th. But in addition, Gary volunteered to coordinate the funerals and wakes for departed members of the Lawrence Fire Department. And it's a very time-consuming effort. He's coordinated this for the last 9 years with many different families. Not only does he coordinate the color guard and honor guard, but he also coordinates with the family members, with the credit union, Mutual Relief Association, Retirement Board, a lot of other responsibilities go along with that position. So what I would like to do now is show my appreciation towards Gary Clement for all these duties he's performed in addition to 32 years on the department, his professionalism, his just dedication, and also I'd like to congratulate him on his retirement and hope for many happy years of health and good luck. Thank you, Gary.
Now, last year, we talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. There was a bank robbery in the middle of the afternoon. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in downtown North Andover. And the really professional and really heroic men of the North Andover North Andover Police Department, it was going to be clip 35, Timmy, not only were able to get to the scene almost quicker than me, not quite, but almost quicker than me, and they were also able to, through various networks, including the internet, be able to track down who the individual was and arrested him without anybody getting hurt later on, a few days later, I believe. Here is the North Andover Police Chief, Richard Stanley.
Next presentation, I would like to call upon Lieutenant Paul Gallagher
or Paul
of the
Gallagher.
North Andover Police Department.
Or Paul Gallagher.
Good evening. On behalf of the North Andover Police Department and Chief Stanley, I wish to thank the Exchange Club for and Willibrator for providing us to honor our officers. We get the letter from Norm Jones every year. The command staff sits down and we look at all the incidents that occurred during the past year and all the officers that were involved in these incidents. It's a tough decision. But this evening, we came up with, there was a bank robbery in North Andover. On October 27th, at about 2:50 in the afternoon, a tall male entered the Southern Bank on Main Street, North Andover. He waited until several customers had left the bank and gave the teller a note demanding, no dye packs, make it quick, and no one will get hurt. The teller gave the suspect the money, but was in fear for his safety as the suspect was getting angry and agitated during the robbery. The suspect did fled the store, the bank, through the front door onto Main Street. St. Michael's School was just getting out about a half hour prior. Officers and detectives were assigned to the area. They conducted their investigations with Special Agent Margaret Cronin from the FBI. A forensic team was assembled. K-9 units were called to the area. The detectives and the FBI agent canvassed the area and talked to several witnesses and suspects, witnesses and residents. During that time, we're very honored to have Detective Kevin Burke came to the scene to assist us. He looked through the video with us and the detectives and determined that the suspect had touched with his palms the teller window, which gave us a lot of information. He pulled two palm prints, a left and right palm. So that was going to help us with the investigation as it continued. Thank you, Detective Burke. The investigation led the officers to believe the suspect came from the area and committed a felony larceny the day prior at the CVS pharmacy. The forensic team carefully reviewed the videos of both the bank and the CVS and determined that it was, in fact, the same person. During the next week, detectives received several calls from postings on Mass Most Wanted and the Eagle Tribune pictures.
And the Valley Patriot.
They did not identify the suspect at that time. On November 4th, Sergeant Timothy Crane was a shift supervisor at the North Andover Station. He received a call from a lady, a grandmother, of a child custody issue that the grandmother was in fear for her grandchild's safety. She didn't know where the location was, but it was in the area of the bank. And Sergeant Crane, when he got the suspect's name, that they were looking for the custody father, he went through the RMV files, the Registry of Motor Vehicle files, his license, and saw a very much similarity to the man that had robbed the bank, and the area was around the bank that we were looking at. The investigation went high tense at that point. The investigators did locate the child, vended photo arrays, the family, and witnesses. The suspect was identified. With the assistance of the FBI Special Agent Margaret Peggy Cronin and the Bank Robbery Task Force, it accelerated the investigation. We did locate the suspect. He was in Dorchester hiding. The task force did find him on the warrants. From the time that Sergeant Crane got the information to the arrest was approximately 22 hours. The suspect was indicted by an Essex County grand jury, and with all the information that we had, the evidence, the palm prints, the clothing, the bank note, he pled out and is now serving time. The officers involved in this investigation that worked very hard were Sergeant Timothy Crane, Detective Daniel Cronin, Detective Thomas Donovan, Detective Robert Barter, Detective Sean Daly, and FBI Special Agent Margaret Cronin, who we were our nominees and we're very proud to have them on our team. Thank you.
Once again, we've run out of time here on the Paying Attention Radio program. I've got three more, at least four more, and we will do those next week. And maybe we'll put those in rotations as bumpers. We'll maybe cut them up and make them a little quicker, a little shorter. I do want to remind you, though, that tomorrow, see if I get this right as we go to break, as we leave. Tomorrow, registration for the 2010 season for the South Lawrence West Little League. Registration will be tomorrow at the Knights of Columbus from 9 to 12. Tomorrow at the Knights of Columbus on Market Street in Lawrence. Thanks to Paul Lambert for sending that over to us. Appreciate that. Don't forget to listen to Tyler Dumont, who I think is going to be like the next Rush Limbaugh someday. He's going to be the next Bill O'Reilly. He's going to be the next Michelle McVie someday. There's a great show called Teen Talk here on WCAP. And it's good if you're a grown-up to listen to it, because if you got kids, you learn an awful lot. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you to Melvin Taylor for producing great music we can play on the show. And Tim, great job today, by the way, with all those clips. Fantastic. Let's keep that up. I'll podcast the show shortly. And don't forget, the March edition's coming out. It's our anniversary edition.
980 WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack Valley.